Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hi, this is Real Stories and I am your host, Talia the Communication Doctor, and I'm really excited to have Natasha Harris on my show today. Hello, Natasha.
Hey, Tanya, it's great to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on today. And just to introduce Natasha to my audience, Natasha is a business, intuitive business coach and healer. Now that's quite, you know, how do I describe that? Intuitive business coach and healer. As I say it, for me, there's two different worlds that have combined together there, you know, because you have an idea of a business coach, and then you'll have an idea of a healer or intuitive coach. So can you explain to my audience that if they are naive about this, what that actually means?
Yeah, I think you've actually kind of like just asked a really great question about that, because for me, it's really important around bringing in like the business elements of things, the practical elements of things, taking action, doing, creating, manifesting, yet bringing in that kind of spiritual element of ourselves, knowing that we are more than just what we do, an action and a doer. You know, we're human beings, not human doings. So it's like how we tap into that other essence of ourselves, the energetic essence of ourselves, of who we are on an energetic level, our feelings, our emotions. And the healing element really comes from recognizing that we bring stuff with us along our journey, and does it serve us or does it not serve us in business, and how we can let that go and really identify what those are, especially as business women, that are holding us back from really stepping into our power and stepping into what we want to create. So yeah, that really for me is what it's all about, is bringing those two elements together.
I love the passion behind what you just said, and I love all those little, let's say, Natasha-isms with human beings and human doings. And you know, it's so interesting, we listen to somebody else, I listen to so much different people in podcasting, and everybody's got their language, and it's lovely. I kind of really absorb in that. Human beings and human doings. I want you to go a little bit deeper with that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think I've stolen that from someone else. Or someone else. But yeah, that like we are so conditioned in many aspects of our lives to do, to take action, to be thinkers, to rationalize things, to think rationally, fit things into boxes, make sure it really makes sense. And we have to do that really to some degree, but we've forgotten about the intuitive elements of bringing that into the action. Like, you know, being in that essence of something doesn't feel quite right, something doesn't feel like it fits, I don't feel comfortable in this environment, I don't feel comfortable in this setting. And we've forgotten to listen and really intuit that part of us that is feeding us information all the time. And I come from my background is actually in IT, so I come from, you know, risk assessment, looking at things, how do things logically work, putting things together, mapping it out, project management, you know, it's very, very fixed. So kind of working my way away from that purely action-based into starting to tap into my intuition, my all-knowing, my all-sensing, was quite a transition for me.
And it's also a kind of a different thing in terms of the Western world and the Eastern world, or the African world, let's say, because these are things I think, especially within some of the African world, I mean, Africa's a massive continent, but you know, you've got various different tribes, that just live their life in that way, in touch with the earth.
Oh, I just
in touch with the universe. Yeah, and so that's really lovely. And I feel in the Western world, like you say, with your like 9-to-5 job, sometimes you can get lost into the practicality of things and the logic. And it's a little bit like left brain, right brain, isn't it? You know, the way that they work. So you've got your creative side and you've got your kind of logical, mathematical side, let's say. And when you marry those two, or you understand as a human beings, I think we're all capable of being intuitive and feeling and connecting. But a lot of people just don't use that element of themselves. So I want to dial back, because I'm interested when you just said a little bit of the IT and all that little that background. But I'm going to go a little bit further in terms of, I want to ask you, as a child growing up, what you really enjoyed doing.
Oh, that's a good question. So I think I was always a bit of a tomboy, a bit of an outside bird. I love to be outside, love to, you know, be out in nature. Mm-hmm. Although I grew up in London, so that wasn't always easy for me. And I felt like I was a little bit different, but I was too afraid to be that different person. You know, I at school, I wanted to fit in and I wanted to be, you know, liked as a kid. And, you know, that was quite challenging for me. I was quite shy. I was quite introverted as well in that, which is quite surprising now that I feel like I'm totally opposite to that now. But it's really interesting how, you know, those kind of experiences shift and shape us in some ways. And I feel like my childhood, it's like I feel very different to who I am now to who my child is. I sometimes struggle in some ways, if I'm actually really honest, to identify with that younger person that I was.
That's really interesting. Because I think it's always so, because sometimes there could be like a thread between the child and the adult. Why is that, do you think? Is there something behind that in terms of what you went through as a child from that was challenging for you and that you want to let go of?
Yeah, I think there have been many things along my path and my journey to self-development and self-discovery from someone who tried to fit in with others and trying to fit into the social norms. And I remember thinking that, you know, at college, thinking, oh, you know, well, you know, my path is probably and most likely going to be get married, have children, and do what I'd seen my parents do, which, you know, nothing wrong with that, but kind of felt that that was how my life would unfold. I never really questioned that there would be something more to that until I did start questioning it, where there was a louder voice inside me that was like, no, you're meant for something more here. There's something bigger that needs to come out of me. And that's where I think I started to really listen to my own intuition a bit more and recognizing that probably through various key moments, not necessarily all the time throughout my childhood, I had listened to it. Like I just made decisions and I made choices and I was like, that's just what I've got to do. Just have to do it. And that became more prevalent in my 20s.
Yeah. So when was that moment? When was that switch button that came on and said, because like, you said you went through lots of different things. Can you remember that exact moment that you started to question things? What was going on in your life? Why you started to question things? Because we don't generally question things unless there's something that's not quite right, do we? So what was that for you?
Yeah. And I think the questioning started when I kind of had learned IT. And I think, you know, probably quite relevantly to this conversation was that my sister was quite a bit older than me. And she had gone down the IT route and gone into that route. And I kind of looked up to her, you know, she was quite a lot older than me. I thought what she was doing was great. She had all this independence and moved out of home. And I was still quite young. And I thought, oh, what she's doing feels really interesting. And I just followed in her footsteps because I just thought, you know, well, why not? Never really kind of questioned that there were other options available to me, although my parents were incredibly supportive of like, you know, you do what you want. So I had that messaging from home, but I somehow didn't like kind of adapt it into my life in those early days. And then so I, you know, left university and I got a job working for a quite a big company, you know, in their IT department. And I remember thinking, you know, actually I quite like this, you know, it was quite masculine or like, you know, male dominated environment, but it was a bigger company. So there was a very mixed kind of group of people within it. But my department was like, I was the only girl and I was learning. And, you know, I found that quite interesting and fascinating to be part of. And then as I sort of progressed it within that, I, looking back, you know, 8 years later, looking back at those 8 years, I think I realized that I was falling into a trap,
yeah,
the corporate trap. And yeah. I remember thinking, probably around the age of 28, that is this really where I'm going? You know, I was working harder, I was showing up for work earlier, trying to prove myself as a woman in a man's workplace. Not that I felt that I needed to, but I felt that for myself, that, you know, I needed to prove myself. I didn't come from external sources. Mm. You know, managing two large teams, feeling like I really had to prove myself in that. And I think there was a moment where I was like, wow, I'm 28. Like, I'm going to probably be working until, you know, I'm in my early 60s, you know, if you went by like women retiring till 60, yeah. 65. And I think it was a sort of head scratching moment of like, oh, that's a long time. And if I'm feeling this already, like, what do I want to create for my life? So there was a very, well, I remember it very clearly, defining moment of like, wow, like, really, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? And the internal, intuitive, resounding answer was like, hell no, get out.
Mm. That's really brave. You know, whenever I hear when people make that switch, because I think a lot of people feel that way when they're in the corporate world, or not necessarily corporate world, whatever you're doing. Sometimes you think, God, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. And some people do it. Or let's say some men may do it because they feel, you know, I've got that responsibility, or some women that have got that responsibility to do whatever you're doing. So it takes a lot of courage to say, no, I'm going to go down this path and trust the universe to kind of do that. So I think that's really brave, Natasha, to have done that. Yeah. So moving forward, you know, you've gone into from IT, you're now doing this coaching and for intuitive coaching. What do you love about what you do now?
Yeah, so, oh my goodness, so many things. But I think it's probably just worth noting there was a whole transitional point in between that. So I moved out of IT and actually went and travelled the world and went into conservation and discovered that my real passion was for the environment. Mm. And then from that, it kind of transitioned into helping and supporting people. And I think it was a defining moment in my life where I was kind of really struggling with understanding how I create that shift, how I do that shift for myself, going from, you know, almost reinventing myself from IT to project manager in conservation, feeling like I wanted to give back to the world, to, you know, trying different things. And I kind of felt that there were certain elements of my personal life that weren't working for me. I was going through a very difficult breakup at the time. And so I was questioning a lot about who I was, what I really, really wanted. And it really led me to being coached.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. Like, I can actually make conscious choices and decide for myself what I want to do by thinking about it and having space to think about it. And I think that was just a completely different concept. It was just like, I kind of felt like I was on this path, and it was just like, I was probably dancing it too quickly. I kind of felt a little bit like I was on a hamster wheel. Like I was like, kind of like speeding up, never really gave myself this opportunity to stop, to breathe, to go, what do I want? Mm. What do I choose? Mm. And so then that's been an involvement ever since then.
Oh, wow. You know, sorry, I missed that. We missed, that's crucial, isn't it, really? Because sometimes that's what can change the coaching, whether it's coaching, counselling, therapy, Or whether it's none of those things, maybe it's just sometimes people just work things out from a reflection point, don't you, when you're put in a situation where you're thinking, you know what, if you don't like what Maya Angelou says, you know, if you don't like something, change it, you know. Yeah, so powerful. But a lot of us don't get to that point of changing it. Do you see what I mean? You get to that, we kind of hold back. I think that's quite beautiful in terms of what you've just described there. But coming back to the question, as you started to change it, what did you like about it?
The self-discovery, I think, for me was just like, oh, wow, there's this whole other element of how we can show up, how we can do things, how we can create a business that is tapping into, like where we started with this conversation, into all parts of ourselves, and how we can really use our intuitive elements. As you said, we have it, we all are intuitive, but through various reasons and societal conditioning and upbringing and everything else, we've kind of been taught that it's not good to listen to that. But actually, that's where the magic really truly happens, and it is a journey, it's a dance, it's an evolvement of self to really learn who we are. And you know, I feel, you know, now in my life that I'm excited to see where I'm going next. Mm-hmm. You know, all this unraveling has happened, all these things have all led and fed into each other, and it's like, wow, you know, what we're capable of, human beings, is enormous, incredible.
Yes.
So that leads me to a huge fascination about, you know, who we are and how we work and how we bring in that element of spirituality and who we are on a bigger soul level into how we show up here on earth taking action.
And as you say that, how we show up on a bigger soul level, I think before we got on this call we did mention the Akashic Records, because that's one of your tools, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about your tools to help people intuitively.
Yeah. Oh wow, so this is something that, you know, it also took me a while to unravel and to really get my head around, coming from something, you know, that logical part is still very much
I know it takes a while to kind of hone in. Yeah.
The vastness of the Akashic Records. So for those of you that don't know, I'll just explain briefly what the Akashic Records are. But how I like to explain the Akashic Records is everything is energy, everything has an energetic resonance, everything we think, feel, say, do, enact, experience has an energetic resonance. Science has now proven we can't destroy energy, but we can transform it, which is why we can go from feelings of sadness to joy, why we you know, from darkness to light, and all of these kind of things. So if we can't destroy energy, where does it go? And that's what they say is like our energetic database of everything that we've ever thought, said, done, experienced through past lifetimes and present lifetimes. So you can just imagine how enormous the Akashic Records are, and we each hold an Akashic Record, which holds all the information about who we are from the moment our soul came into existence. So it holds very specific information about our unique energetic vibrational frequency and energy, if you like.
You know, I love that, because I also love the Akashic Records too, and also this I do soul plan readings of people, look at numerology, and that kind of, there's kind of links there, isn't there? And I love what you said in terms of that energetic database, because I just see, as we've come into this world, right, we already know what we're going to do, we know our purpose, but it's like you've kind of forgotten and you're programmed and you've got to download, what do I do now? And sometimes the world gets in the way and you forget. But when you kind of have that quiet moment, then you can, those downloads come. And that's how I kind of see intuition for that. And that's interesting, you're an IT person, so you'll get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marriage too, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating, because once we start to really get to know ourselves, like who we are at that energetic level, and what we do best and how we show up best, you know, that's in alignment with who we are on that bigger soul level, energetic level, however, higher self, whatever we choose to call it. It's all energy at the end of the day. We just we've placed words on it, you know, then we start to take action that aligns to who we are energetically. And that's when we kind of step and we more into flow, and we dance a little bit more along, you know, that line of being in flow, out of flow, rather than going off, well, I should be doing this, and going, oh, this sucks, this isn't good, and trying to work our way back to a center and a flow and a sense of understanding of who we are. And so it kind of gives us those clues as to who we are. And that's probably, you know, exactly, you know, we all have different ways of doing it. And that's what I love about the age that we're living in now, is that, you know, there's something available for everyone, whatever level we're on or understanding that we have, or however our brain unravels and unfolds things. And so that's why these things always work so beautifully in harmony.
Oh gosh, no, totally. And the next question I want to ask you is in relationship to the Akashic Records, but yourself, can you give me a story how the Akashic Records has worked with your life? So just take an element of that so people can understand, and how that has helped you in terms of something you've gone through.
Yeah.
The light and the shade and the dark and the light and the whole idea of the Akashic Records.
Yeah. I think there've been many, many moments of understanding. There've been a lot of moments of resistance within me as well to, you know, well, you know, how do I, you know, learning this modality and understanding it and working through it on your own without really having a guide or a support person to show you, I had a lot of resistance around it in the early days, because I just couldn't wrap my head around the vastness of what else it was. But so I think for me, it really, first and foremost, it really, the biggest part of that change was really trusting into myself to know actually there is something bigger, so much bigger than I thought of, you know, before I'd even heard of the Akashic Records. So it really helped me and build a real trust with myself, my intuition, that I, you know, getting to know me and who I was. And actually something that, you know, fast forward literally only about a few months, actually through, you know, this challenging time that we're going through right now, you know, has really highlighted for me that part of who I am is within the Akashic Records, which kind of always made sense to me, but a whole nother layer came through only like recently. And this is years and years after that I've been working with the Akashic. So this is where the journey is always unfolding. We're never there, we're never done. Was that, you know, part of who I am is all about community. And I always knew that about myself. You know, I'm always the one that's like in my neighborhood, living in central London, who's like, right, who can I gather in my community? Who can I bring together? Nature's very important for me. You know, and bringing those groups of people. And so a few things happened for me very recently that just suddenly brought in this absolute aha moment of like collaborating with others, and how easy that has been for me in the last few months, collaborating with two separate groups of people, and how easily people were then attracted to us, how easy the manifesting process was in filling two programs within less than 2 weeks. You know, and it's just been absolutely eye-opening. So it's, and clients come back to me, you know, 4 or 5 years after an Akashic reading and saying, I've just listened to the recording of our session from a few years ago, and a whole nother layer of information has just been given to me in the same words, in the same recording. So that is, I mean, just beautiful. And so that's really excited me again and invigorated me again in, you know, very recently around the power of tapping into who we are at this soul level. So that's just a very recent thing that's really been given to me in just a much bigger, more expanded version.
No, totally. And I think it's lovely what you just said in terms of it's constant, isn't it? Finding and discovering different things about yourselves and discovering different layers of the Akashic Record and how that relates to you in terms of moving forward and the fact that you're a community person. So in terms of moving forward in the future, what are you looking for in the future? What's your focus now moving forward?
So I think my focus really now, I feel a bit emotional saying this, but really now is really showing people how we can step into the light, how we can really, you know, start to tap into that higher frequency of who we are and start dancing with that, while bringing all elements of ourselves into the whole picture. You know, we are, you know, the light and the dark, as you just mentioned, and embracing all of that, and how we can really start to be ourselves on all levels as a holistic being, you know, through all dimensions, and how we can really start to be that wave of change moving forward that the world absolutely, really, truly needs right now. I feel very strongly about that, you know, that we are done with some of the old systems of, you know, how we've been operating. You know, we see it throughout, rippling out through the world, from various issues that are rippling to the surface. And it's how we now start to tap into who we want to be, where are we going, while bringing all of that with us, but starting to be a whole elements of ourselves, and being, you know, I call it dancing in the light. You know, it's like, but being all of ourselves as well. We are all shadow, dark and light, and all of that as well.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting you say, because I love that term, dance in the light, and that, in my mind, I kind of visualize a freedom.
Yes.
But I also see, when you say, I see a picture of dancing, for me, I see a picture of dancing when it's dark and there's lights, like on a really dark night. Yeah. You've got a fire going and there's a light. That's for me, dancing in the light, but then it's dark. But then that's how I see it, in terms of that combination of, in the evening when you're relaxed and it's a really dark night, and then there's a fire and there's lights that are lit. That's how I'm kind of visualizing it. And there's movement. Sometimes it's at those times spiritually that we wake up, you know? And that's interesting, as you said, that how you do combine it. Because I do, it's interesting, because we all go to those moments for joy, don't we? And joy is really important. But I, with the work that I do, yeah, I always look at shadow and light, as I said earlier, because I feel sometimes the world right now is gone to a real shadow place.
Yes.
And we have to go to that shadow place to get to the light. Mm. And it's almost like, from a perspective of people that do tarot, will get this. When you look at, let's say, the Tower card.
Yeah.
And if people that don't know, the Tower card is like a part of tarot, but it's a tower, and when you get the tower, it means that everything around you is collapsing.
Yeah,
you know, everything around you is about to, in your world, everything's going to be destroyed. Yeah, that can be a really good card, I always say. Because wow, the other side of that, when you look at combinations, I'm seeing, like, we're right now, we're in this tower energy, and the whole, and I feel this is like the universe is in this tower energy, where everything around us is collapsing. We've got terrible climate change. But then we've also, through the climate change, we've actually started to realise, through lockdown, that the animals, really, because you'll see more animals when people are not on the streets. There was a lot more freedom. Yeah. The whales came back in Venice, you know. Yeah. So kind of like within that, but us as, there was so much greed within the world, wasn't there, with regards to it. And then you have the whole Black Lives Matter, you know, because that was highlighted, because that's been going on for years, yeah, but things were highlighted, yeah, during this time. So it's almost like, it's interesting you saying that you wanting to get to that point of dancing in the light. Mm. It's almost like we're having to go through all of this tower energy, yeah, to get to light. And I feel, as human beings, yeah, when we recognize that tower within us, or that dark energy within us, or what have we gone through? Is there greed there? Is there trauma? What's gone on in your life where it's really been difficult for you? Yeah. And accept it. Yeah. That's how we come out to the light.
Yeah.
And it's all parts of ourselves. How do you see it? That's how I see it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, the things, you know, that is such an opportunity. When things start to fall away, what we do is we create space for something new. Then we need to be conscious about what we're inviting in that's new. Like, what do we want to bring in? Where do we want to go? How do we want to show up? What do we want to create and manifest? So in the breaking down, you know, there is opportunity for building up. Mm. And also, you know, we are all busy enough. We're all busy enough. So if we think that by doing more and holding on to everything we have is going to create new and different results, it really isn't. You know, we have to let go of some of the stuff that we want to leave behind that is resonant energetically to where we were.
Yeah.
And start doing more of what is resonant to where we want to go. Mm. And that's not about, you know, forgetting elements of us, as you very, you know, very clearly say, it's bringing it, you know, with us. And so it's how we really consciously now choose, what do we want to bring in? What do we want to let go of? Really being aware of what that means for us as individuals. We're all unique and different, and we all want to stand in our power and do our self, our uniqueness, show up in our own beautiful, high vibing uniqueness, and start to shine a little bit. And I loved your analogy about the fire. And you know, for me, because it's the Akashic records and the universal elements, I kind of see it as, you know, we're like little stars, and if we shine, if we just even glimmer a little bit brighter, the next star will go, oh, they're shining, let me go and see what that's about. Let me like kind of, and in the light, we kind of just, we amplify it. We amplify it. And, you know, as you said, we're going through a lot of heavy energies because there is a lot of people that are not willing to let go, not willing to let go of the old ways of doing things, and to consciously ask themselves, where do we want to go? It's like, I just want to do the same. I want to do the same. I want more of the same. And that is where we're breaking down, because we're not asking ourselves, where do we want to go?
Yeah. And it's another thing, I feel there's a being forced as well. So those people who are not letting go will be forced to let go. It's almost like, if you're not listening, if I feel like someone's, I think like you're being pushed, the universe is pushing you, you know? And it's like, so we sometimes feel okay, if it happens in divine timing. And those people that are not listening are kind of being taken into an uncomfortable place, right, and are having to listen now, do you know? So that's really lovely in terms of the way that you put that as well, because we have to, you have to let go, but in order to let go, you have to realise. But if you don't realise, then it's like you're just going down a slide and whoop! A bump. Oh, yeah. That feels good. Oh, I've got another bump, and that feels good. Like, you know, if you've gone down a slide, it gets bumpy and bumpy. The first bump is, it hurts, and then about the third or the fourth bump, it feels, oh, this feels good. And then you feel invigorated, and you're alive again, and you've got this energy, and you know, you're dancing in the light. And that's how I can't be able to dance.
Nice. I love your analogy. Brilliant. Love them. Yeah, it's important to embrace all elements of that, everything we're feeling, everything we're experiencing, and not to forget that we are ultimately, we're human beings, and we have to experience all emotions. You know, it's not about just being in the light. I really don't, you know, I want to point people towards the light, but
of course, yeah,
it's about embracing all of us. We cannot leave that behind. You know, we are here having a very real experience, so you know, it's not spiritual escapism, it's not, you know, allowing ourselves just to go into that beautiful, you know, meditative space and live from that place. We don't create there, we create here. And that means sometimes it gets really bloody messy, awkward and bumpy and ups and downs, and we just, and how we navigate through that is all part of being in the light.
You know what? Well, what comes to mind is actually I had a great conversation with a friend of mine called Jay. He's another spiritualist guy. And we were talking about that in terms of, what was it? We're talking about like the spiritual world. And within the spiritual world, sometimes it's like, it's great to go there, but it's also good to come back to reality.
Yeah.
He said, why? He said, why? Because, you know, sometimes you're in that world and you're enjoying that, you know, that moment. And I suppose, because we live in the Western world, we have got that reality moment, and the reality is like the root chakra stuff. It's the doing, it's that energy of actually getting things done. Rather, so we can, it's nice to kind of go there to our the crown chakras and check in with ourselves, but then come back to the root chakra and move things along. So I love that kind of, that brings it all together in terms of looking at the chakras and looking at how we can build and work for, move forward, you know? In terms of moving things along, and as you said, move forward, letting go of anything that doesn't serve you anymore, which is real kind of powerhouse superwoman thing to do, isn't it? When you let go, you feel like you are superwoman. Hey, you know, you've just done that now, you know, you've got your wings back, you can fly again, because I suppose you mentioned divorce as well, going through, when women are going through divorce or going through anything that's heavy, sometimes it's like, okay, I need my wings back now, do you know? And we need to kind of push on and move forward. Yeah, no, yeah. And I love that analogy.
Yeah, it's just, and it is so powerful, isn't it? Because, you know, that spiritual element, as you just mentioned, you know, it's lovely to go into meditation. I love meditation. I love those practices. But that's not where we create from. We create in the third dimension here on Earth, in the physical body that we still have, you know, we're still very, you know, we're dense, and it takes time to manifest those things through action. And so how we, as you say, bring all those energies of the chakras into alignment. Are we ever fully in alignment? I hazard a guess and say no. You know, because then we don't really need to be here with having this experience.
Exactly,
that's enlightenment, that's it, like, see you later. But
some people are there, it's so funny you say that. Some people believe that, they believe, oh yeah, I'm in this enlightened place, and not really, but they're living in this bubble, do you know? So it's like you say, it's both, isn't it? It's coming together.
It's totally both, and that for me is real spirituality. So we can marry and be everything that we are, and be who we are and express ourselves out into the world as we are in our uniqueness, trying to let go of like societal roles, who we are, who we think we should be, how we've been conditioned to be, you know. And you know, that's how we want to be. And again, not an analogy of mine, but you know, the mountain, it's like, you know, enlightenment seems to be, well, we're trying to get through life to climb to the mountain and get to the top. I believe that our role here on Earth is to be the whole mountain, beautifully grounded through Mother Earth, manifesting through Mother Earth, and being connecting to the higher intuition elements that bring us that divine source, that divine wisdom, that divine information, so that we can be it here.
I love that. I love that, being the whole mountain. I love talking to you, Natasha. It's nice. It's almost like brainstorming, isn't it? When you put these two heads together, talking about spirituality, and it's quite lovely because you haven't got a fix. There's no fixedness there. You know, some people will say, oh, you have to get to the mountaintop and embrace all that's there. But I love that. Sometimes that's where creativity lies, isn't it? Having a look at things in a different way. What's the difference between how you see it and how I see it?
Yeah.
And that's where the magic happens, isn't it? Because you're not saying, I see it this way, and that's how it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let go of that, isn't it? You know, it's like, okay, becoming the mountain and connecting, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bottom of the mountain could be the river.
Yeah, oh, I love a bit of river.
I mean, I love the river energy. I've always loved that energy. You know, I love to be by the sea or by the river. So you've got that river energy. But then once you've embraced that mountain top and you're connecting, it's like, that's what, like you say, it's what we're here on Earth to do, to work with both.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Absolutely. You know, we are all of everything. And I think when we allow ourselves and give ourselves permission to recognize that about ourselves, you know, about that, you know, we don't get everything right. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We get things wrong. And having that ability, and, you know, I think this is, you know, I say this a lot to my clients, and it really resonates with them, but like holding these things lightly, you know, allowing ourselves to feel deeply, you know, experiences that don't feel good, but allowing ourselves to give us opportunity to hold things with a bit of lightness as well, gives us permission to be it, to feel it, to allow it, to move through it, but know that it does transition with time, with patience, with a little bit of introspection, with a little bit of intuition and a bit of guidance and support from those that love you and around you to help you move through things. So, you know, for me, I used to always be quite serious, like, got to get things done, head down, and like, you know, got to work. And now I just like, I really do have an ability to laugh at my inabilities.
That's the best time when you can do. I love that when we get to that point. So
yeah. And like, you know, making a bit of a clangor, making a bit of a mistake, and go, oops, not the best thing to have done in that moment. But, you know, I'll own it. I'll realise it. I'll talk to whoever I need to about not being that, you know, don't get it, like not in that space all the time, but, you know, having more and more of that ability to hold myself in lightness and not feeling such huge weight and pressure around things to get it right, being a perfectionist that I've always been. And
no, that's brilliant. And to end the show today, have you got any inspiring words, or was anybody that you're inspired by, or any quotes that you want to leave my audience with?
Oh,
it's a favorite quote of yours.
Yeah, there are probably loads, but my memory doesn't retain things like that. But yeah, you know,
language.
I heard this great quote the other day. It was something around this, kind of a bit like this. Just in terms of, you know, really, like, I think for me it is, you know, what's coming out of this conversation for me is really about allowing ourselves to be us, to giving ourselves permission to flow a little bit and to you know, trying things on and allowing it to be this dance, allowing it to be an exploration of life and what we are here, what we want to do, you know, practicing small little steps, taking a little step forward. Does this feel good? Does this not? Tweaking it, course correcting it, allowing ourselves to allow our journey to evolve. I know being on the journey is a bit of a cliche, but it is. But allowing it to evolve when we couple, you know, accepting being on the journey and allowing it to evolve as well in its own good time and making mistakes along the way, I think for me is what's really come out of our conversation today.
I love that. And I feel like I have to call this podcast, as I'm doing that, I don't always get to this point, but for me, I've got to this point. I've got to call it dancing in the light. It's what we're talking about, really, aren't they? And I love that whole visualization. So thank you very much for your words and your kind words and your wisdom and your story.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been an absolute delight to talk to you, Tanya.
Oh, it's been lovely. And I love your energy, Natasha. I just want to say that you've got really lovely light energy, actually. I can understand why you want to dance in the light, because that it's obvious just intuitively that energy is being presented, and that's a lovely energy, and I understand why people want to work with you. So from Taylor Communication Doctor and Natasha Harris, adios.
Bye for now.
One of my takeaways from this show is to allow yourself to be you. Allow yourself to go through that exploration. And like Natasha says, dance in the light.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.